Welcome. Jump into the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast, where leading with love isn't just nice, it's genius. I'm Laurel Donnellan.
And I'm Daryl Brown. We'll unpack business strategies infused with empathy and action, driving both profit and purpose. Our world is ever-changing, so discover how the savvy leader wears compassion as their power suit.
Well, it's my great honor to have two people I care a lot about with me today for my last podcast of 2023. I have the Director of People and Culture at SOC Prime, a cybersecurity company. Her name is Marina Aksanova. And I have the founder and CEO, Andre Bezverhi, with me today. So welcome to the podcast. I am having you here today because I so admire your country, your home country of Ukraine. I admire so much about what you're doing in your company. And I think it is a good time to talk about collaboration, which is a theme in your company and we need more of in the world. So Andre, I'm going to start with you. And before we started recording, you were talking to me about good people and humanity right now. So could you expand upon that? We're going to start sort of in a wide global way, and then we'll get into exactly what you do at your company.
Thank you, Laurel. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you for inviting us to the end of the year podcast. It's kind of, you know, special thing for us. And yeah, I mean, where do I start on the question? It's probably like it's not only like speaking about my home country, Ukraine, like and everything like we are doing and what is happening and the whole like, you know, aggression and war with Russia. But overall, if we look at what's happening in the world, right, those are really troubled times. There's a lot of, I don't know, for the lack of a better word, evil happening. And I guess humanity has been through this period in the past, not once. And it's usually when, you know, the great people of the past were saying, I think it was Martin Luther King who said that only light can drive out the darkness, right? Darkness does not drive out darkness. And in this case, I think these times are about kind of knowing that any difficulty can be, or, you know, or we can overcome every difficulty if we work together, right? So I think it's more about, it's not just about cyber, it's about overall, like, good people working together towards defeating the bad, the evil, right? Something that is not the future of humankind. We need more of that collaboration of good people, right? If you look at the events, like I always kind of have a distorted reception of reality through cyber. So if I see like something is happening in cyber, right, some incident, I'm just starting to correlate with physical events. And, you know, it's sometimes I get upset when normal people don't. Most of the time I'm maybe overcautious, but sometimes it's really like first signs of something going on can be viewed in digital space and cyberspace. Has to be more of working together and internationally, but also inside the countries, right? Inside different industries. We probably can name many different examples, you know, that we are seeing. If we can speak about that, I'd be happy to provide some info and context, of course.
Knowing that you were both coming on this week, my father turned 96 last week. And he volunteered to be, he fought in World War II as a 17-year-old and fought for democracy. And I think about all of you and your countrymen fighting for democracy. And I just want to thank you for that so much. And I know my Congress didn't do the right thing this week, but my president did. So there are Americans that love you and love your country and will be fighting for you.
Thank you, Laurel. First of all, congratulations, your father's birthday, and, you know, and what a respect for what he did, right? Because if it's due to people like him, we get to speak today, right? We get to discuss what we discuss. Yeah. So it's unfortunate that this has to be repeated for the world. Hopefully it doesn't kind of escalate further. But honestly, before war started in Ukraine, like I never talked to any politicians or officials, right? And I guess in the last almost 2 years, I've met too many on all sides of the globe. Yeah, it's, at least, right? Maybe I'm not, as Ukrainian, not entirely happy what's going on, right? But like in terms of like politics, right? And the support Ukraine is getting. But on the other hand side, I have to respect it, right? Because it's actually like it's a full democratic process, right? There is a voting system in place. People treat each other with respect. There's like a system to be followed. Ukraine has to learn from that as well, right? Because like things are not ideal back in Ukraine, right? You may have seen some news, right? There was this kind of trial going on with some of the cyber commanders, which, again, on one hand side, if it is as described, right, then it's by all means that's fair. But it kind of looked like it's kind of slightly fabricated to me, and also the motive behind that, it felt like something is off, right? So it also shows that like Ukraine as a country needs to grow. Our legislation, our governance, right, our processes have to be more transparent, more towards democratic world, because what happens there, like, is not in line with what we see in the United States or other Western allies we have. So yeah, I think it's kind of mutual. Everybody could do better. And again, there are good people, right? Just like you said, the president is, doing amazing. I think both presidents of both countries are doing an amazing job.
They're compassionate leaders, so we're very lucky to have them. And I don't normally cry at the beginning of a podcast, but it's an important time, and I feel so lucky to be with you. So I love this idea of, good people working together. And Marina, as the director of people and culture, I'd love for you to tell a little bit about what Sock Prime does, to the layman who may not know cybersecurity. Something simple, like what do you do? Because I know what you do is very complicated. And tell us a little bit about your team and your culture.
Every time when I think about Sock Prime, I want to start, I'm proud. I'm proud of our company and our team. Laurel, I have been working in Sock Prime since 2019, April. And when I looked for a new opportunity in 2019, I wanted to find a company with great values, and a team with a passion and ambition. And it was love from the first minutes. I'm happy I work in Sock Prime. And I have great mentors, business partners, teammates. I like to see the professional growth of our team. And yes, I agree with Zandri. Good people must work together. And I think it's about Sock Prime. People, they are not just good people, they are great professional people, And is it easy to work in Sock Prime? Of course not. We struggle each day with a lot of issues and challenges, especially last year and this year. But yes, it's a difficult period for Ukraine. I believe in our company, in our team, and I'm sure that our team can move our company together forward together. Together, it's really important for us in Sock Prime. And about our culture, I think it's a clue for our team, our corporate culture. When a lot of companies talked about benefits, these packages, motivation, I can say our corporate culture, of course, it's a unique corporate culture, and it's our benefit. It's one of our benefits because you can feel freedom, passion, ambition when you are Sock Primers. It's important for us to keep this culture. Yeah, we are growing. I can say since 2019, it's awesome, growing each year, but we can take care about our culture and values together with our founders. I'm happy that our founders share these values with us. And since 2019, we can move forward with these values, this corporate culture, together with our team. It's not only, you know, about C-level management, top management managers team or founders. No, together with our team. And I'm sure our leaders know that success is more than just their skills. We understand and support that leadership is a necessary process, of course. And leaders in subprime, if you are a leader in subprime, you must use your professional skills, heart and head. And it's important for us. Every day, you must listen and hear your people. You must inspire and influence your team. Because without it, we can't move forward. Only passion and ambition is not just words during the day. People, please have ambitions, have passions. No, it's in our hearts. And I always, you know, I like that the premise is more than just a job for our people. You know, we have feelings about our company. We have subprime in our souls.
Beautiful. And so I know you're an American company with Ukrainian roots. How many people work at the company as a whole, and how many are actually still in Ukraine?
There are a total of 96 people in subprime as of today. We're regrouping before the next phase of growth, because next year we want to grow. Physically in Ukraine, there's still 50 people, right? So some of them are permanently established in Ukraine, some of them are going back and forth, just like me. So I don't consider myself full in Ukraine. I kind of count myself as a half, half and half. So yeah, pretty much half of the team is still home. Even though, like, we do have very strong American office now, so it helps us to run the business uninterrupted. And it's like when everything started, it was like the team in America and team in Europe actually holds a law to allow like Ukrainian team to regroup. And we also like went to like 24-hour operations, so we have in people in Australia and also in Argentina, so it's like truly international,
really global team. All over.
Yes, yeah. Yes, we're like a little bit of subprime everywhere around the globe. Yes, that's yeah. How our team operates.
So let's get into a little more detail, Andre, about what you do as a cybersecurity company, and I also want you to talk about the collaborative open source language that you've helped create. So tell us a little bit about what you do for your clients and about this open source cybersecurity language.
So what we do for our customers and also for the community, right? So not everything SOCGRAM does is paid, by the way. So a big part of our business is just working with researchers, students, academia. But of course, we earn capital, right, by selling to enterprise, government, and specialized providers. So we believe we're building the technology for collective cyber defense, where kind of with every person using our product to defend, there's a cumulative effect of growing a stronger defense layer, right? Which is kind of, as a term, if you look at like industry research like IDC or Gartner, there's no category for that, right? Usually cybersecurity niche is much more tactical and it's broken down into like, okay, we protect, for example, from DDoS attacks, and so we're DDoS defense. We protect perimeters, so we are like someone like Cisco, Palo Alto. And we like said, no, we actually like can do something different. And that makes a lot of people confused on the first side, because they think, so what is subprime doing? And like for many, many years, we asked, are you like a content company? Because the core deliverable of subprime before we get funding back in 2021 was giving algorithms to find threats to organizations. This is opposed to most security manufacturers, because most of the manufacturers say, give me your data and I will look at it, use some magic and technology, you know, hopefully not the former, and tell you if you are hacked, if you are being attacked. We're saying, no, we're actually looking at every threat, researching at every like possible way to break things, half of the time, even before it manifests itself into full-scale attack. And so they're creating a way to find it and give it to people, right? And it's a shocker to most, because like nobody does it in security. Everybody says, hey, even back from antivirus, like to make antivirus, you need to have a virus. And we're like, no, we don't need to have a virus. We don't need to have the data. But we create those algorithms. And when we started the business, everybody was saying, hey, can you give us more? Can you give us more? So we were like getting more people into the team, right? First in Ukraine and outside in the United States. So we were lucky to get some of our threat research engineers who formerly worked with like defense agencies and so on. So really like good people found each other, I would like to say. That's what formed SOC Prime's DNA in the early years, even before funding. And then we grown to like building algorithms. We say, okay, we will never have enough engineers to research every threat, but there are people all over the world. So we introduced crowdsourcing. We say, hey, we're gonna pay bounty monthly for people to describe evil and for sharing with the rest of the world. Because the threat vector or typical attack scenario, like it's repeatable, right? So if somebody invents a way to break a computer or break a network or cloud, they will try it against like thousands of organizations, right? If somebody describes a defense algorithm, it can again protect thousands or tens of thousands. So that's where the whole collaboration started. And then we said, okay, so people are giving algorithms to us, we're giving them to end customers, to managed detection providers. What's the next step? Right. So where are we going to be in, let's say, 10 or 20 years from now? And so we thought, okay, if everybody's sharing the way to find attacks, then it will be pretty much be impossible to execute a dangerous attack like ransomware or advanced persistent threat without revealing what you're doing, without revealing who you are. Right. Because all the bad is researched. Then it becomes a question of how do we embed it into the day-to-day defense tooling, right? So essentially we're moving code instead of moving data. And we were kind of building tools around, and this would become a very like technical talk. But the language idea, it actually came to us when we started SOC Prime, because we are repeating our work for every platform. And there's probably more than 100 different languages in cybersecurity, just like, you know, humans speak different languages and dialects, same as in security. So there's like over 100 great technologies that are used for defense. And all of them have dialects, in this case, data formats, right? So like you could have like same technology in, there is no same deployment in two organizations. Every is different. So like, how do we connect it all? And in early years, we spotted a project called Sigma. It is an open source language invented by two very smart guys from Germany, Florian Roth and Thomas Patzke. And like, we like became the biggest backer of Sigma. Like, this is great. One single language for cybersecurity to describe threats. We're backing it for many, many years. And then at a certain point, we were like, okay, so we have proven that industry wants to use a single language, but the language cannot be simple, right? Because what if threat is not simple? What if I cannot describe what I see with a simple construct? Because when we were pretty much in translation business, like going from Sigma to specific languages, of big folks like, you know, Microsoft, Amazon, IBM, like all those really massive, massive corporations. And we thought, okay, there has to be like a way to describe all the threats we are seeing. And there has to be a way to be more inclusive for people, right? Because if you want everyone to collaborate, essentially, you need to learn Sigma. It's very special. It's built by people who know the threats very well, but maybe not the experts in the defense technologies. Meanwhile, on the other hand side, we have people who learn those 100 defense tools for many years. Like an average time it takes to learn a language in security is probably 5 years. So not as long as it took me to learn English back in school, but still a lot of time, right? So it was like, what if we allow people to express the knowledge of threats in whatever language they know, right? So let's say if three of us would be specialists in different technologies, how do we exchange? Because it's like on the technical level, it looks cryptic, right? It's all kind of, you know, those select statements, you know, regular expressions, all those crazy like technical things. And they're not compatible. So we created a translator, right? We were making it for since 2018. And then with the introduction of like large language models, right? We tried ChatGPT and we're like, oh, wow, it produces us a different answer every time. So it's still learning. And as everybody's trying to apply AI, like for better or for good, we're like, okay, we're gonna someday like introduce our own AI. We started the research and it started to be successful. Like piece by piece, we started to be able to translate from one language to another. And we saw, okay, like 1 year from now, we're gonna make a leap forward where you can just speak every language. Right. So essentially, like you can talk to me in one, just like you do today, like in audio translators or tools like Google Translate or Apple Translate. And you're like, okay, so it's going to be AI, cloud, all the modern thing. But what about people who can't afford to pay for AI products? What about people who don't send data to the cloud? What about students or researchers or nonprofits? So we decided to commit to kind of open sourcing part of our engine to be free for community after Apache 2.0 license. So pretty much is Apache license. Everybody can, it belongs to the vault almost, right? And then we created this language called Ruta, which actually allows to like kind of serves as kind of as a connection layer between different languages. So you can like run in one language, translate to another, define the rules. So actually, wow, this wallpaper would match what I'm about to say. So if you think about attacks, right? Every like a small layer, think about an attack behavior as an atom, right? So if we were describing previously, like in specific languages, like the bat, we would be creating the atoms which fight attacks. Ruta is like a molecule. So you can combine multiple descriptions into something that has new properties, right? And this way it can serve new purpose. Like you could align many like Ruta molecules to kind of defend or to detect certain attack scenarios. So it's combining those small pieces of knowledge into something more structural. The thing that helps there is that what glues them together. So if you think by themselves, atoms don't hold, just like, you know, in the real world. There's a methodology called MITRE ATT&CK, which is invented by MITRE Ingenuity. And it's, again, it's a free public domain. Actually, I think it's MIT license, but it's same as public domain. So the thing that glues it all together is actually MITRE ATT&CK itself. So without invention of MITRE ATT&CK in 2016, without kind of making a proof of concept with Sigma, it would be impossible to create Ruta. But since those things took place, now we can have a language where, you know, today, any specialist, regardless of what language they learned for like 5, 10, or 20 years, they can start talking with each other in technical side. So they can start collaborating. The only missing piece would be just adding like large language model on top to remove the technical barrier and then move it to natural language. So finding threats should be as easy as saying, hey, show me all the cyber attacks from, you know, countries that should not be named for the last 30 days. And then the system will like find algorithms, create them for you, modify them, run them, and present you something that you can understand, even if you are not a cyber expert. Right?
That's so what does Ruta mean in Ukrainian?
In Ukrainian, Ruta is actually, it's a legend. It's a folk legend, which dates back many hundred years. So it's there is a flower, right, which grows in Ukrainian Western mountains. Its color is actually yellow. But according to the legend, every once in 10 years, the flower turns red. And so everybody's searching for the red Ruta. Because if you find it, and then you will find like the love of your life, right? So it's a legend about search and love, right? So that's what we said. Okay, in cybersecurity, we're searching for threats, but we need more love. We need more people working together. That's why we decided to name it after this legend. It just fits well, and it's quite a unique legend in this case.
And what's your big vision for the future of Ruta? I mean, how many people are using it now, and what would you like to see in the future?
So it's still new in terms of now. We made an announcement in November. I was in Silicon Valley for the week during that announcement, and we I think we made some noise because like in a couple of days I had 73,000 views on LinkedIn, and like almost 1,000 people made a reaction. And it was just a post from me, so it was not advertisement. It was not some kind of, but we just say, hey, we just made this, right? Here's the website with like what it explains what to do. And there was, I think, over 3,000 people also visited the webpage from over 90 countries. So it picked up and people started talking about it. Some of our partners started to call us, right? I did not expect, but I had quite a lot of meetings, right, in Silicon Valley with technology companies who were like, hey, this is, some of them called it a game changer. And I'm like, okay, so at least everybody believes in the concept. Now let's get to the hard work, because we now support 12 languages on the first release. It's now up to like 15, but we need to support all the 100. We need to make it all interchangeable. The difficult part is not making it a reality, is doing it fast enough. So essentially racing time, we need to do it before like attackers fully master using AI for offense, right? So that makes it difficult, but essentially if we are successful, then all defenders can connect to create like pretty much endless amount of algorithms. And that will allow to create defensive AI where we will be part of the solution, not entirely. Like Subprime is not making a full defensive AI system, but the part that we bring in will have its roots. So we say Ruta has roots in the open source. So that people can understand and trust, and actually, like, if they want to go to the source code and say what is happening, why it's happening, how it was built, who created this, right? All that should be transparent, right? Because transparency brings trust, and trust brings, collaboration.
So, Marina, I'm hearing that SOC Prime is working on the preventative side through technology and knowledge and crowdsourcing, really like working on the getting to preventing threats before they happen, and being a thought leader around this collaboration. So what kind of people do you hire? Like, it feels like a special, it's not just brain, but How do you hire the heart part?
Yeah,
because there's a lot of brains in your company.
First of all, Laurel, let's talk about values, in Subprime. And after that, I can explain about hiring process in Subprime. So what is available for Subprime? Our values are honesty, openness, confidence, ambition, passion, and respect, Of course, we are all different in Subprime, but it's precisely the similarity of values that we gather in our teams, which allows us to move forward so quickly. So if you're Subprime, your language, your location, etc., don't matter. We support you. If you need help, the team will help you always. If you want to share your ideas, concerns, ask something, your manager, your team, founders can help you, can hear you, listen you. So it's a long story short about our values, because again, I can talk about it 1, 2, 3 hours. So what is the hiring process in Subprime? We use our values during our hiring process. It's important for me. It was important for me when we built processes in Subprime. You know, companies can use different hiring processes and put firstly hard skill set or soft skill set. It could help to make the right choice. At the beginning of my work in Subprime, it was exciting experience for me. Well, it was the beginning of a fantastic time. We had fast growth, and of course I was excited, and I'm excited right now, of course. So we sat with Henri and discussed our strategy for hiring. We wanted to understand, as a director of people and culture, our needs and priorities. It's important for people management direction. What people we need? It was one question from my side, Henri. We find a strong professional skill set, and it doesn't matter for us the soft skills and values for future Subprimers. We should pay a lot of attention for researching values, motivation points, and soft skills of future Subprimers. And Andre replied, for us, always important values, soft skills, for us, important people who will work together in this company, always. We can educate and support new people in new hard skills, but we can't change their values. We must have a high level of match companies and Subprimers' values. So for each people management specialist, it's like music for ears, all over. And I believe in...
I think a lot of technologists are looking for that type of culture that they didn't really know it existed, because, I like to say that... Art skills are hard skills, because especially when you're remote and you're so diverse, you have to be able to connect through your heart and your head, right?
Yes.
So Andrea, I'm interested in, you have this company that's all over the world. How do you work with your technologists and your people to innovate? What is your process for innovation? How do you, what does it look like? Because I know you don't get together physically very often, but how do you brainstorm and come up with new ideas?
So I think it's really not about location, but once we have people established in the company, right? So when they join and they believe in the missions, they know what we are trying to achieve. Then everybody is kind of suggesting ideas, right? So even when we were like picking a name for Rutas, it was like over 100 suggestions on the team in 1 hour. So she's like, hey, great. We have to name, this is what we are doing. And everybody was just like, let's name it this, this and that. So it's usually, we do one of two things. If it's something big for the company, then we talk about it publicly. So we use Slack for communication and we just have channel where everyone, like we have lots of open channels. It's like a general channel. And usually general channels is asked for like random stuff, but sometimes we say, hey, we need to come up with this. And everyone's like starting to send ideas, sending their thoughts, screenshots, or cat pictures, dog pictures, like it can be anything. In a certain point, like we look and see, okay, what's valuable. And then we make a working group. It depends on the manager. Like I like to be people from different teams who have different outlooks on the situation and who also have different characters, because it promotes creativity, right? It allows us to look at the problem from different sides and try to get the team kind of, you know, speaking and like throwing ideas and then bring structure to it. So in that case, my job would be to structure everything and to make sure it's going in the right direction. But the rest is pretty much brought in by the team, right? So I don't have to be a smart person in a room, right? Well, I just, because there are many people who are smarter, right? Many people have different experience and been in the roots of the problem much deeper. That's ideal situation. Of course, it takes a lot of work to get there. So sometimes it works like a charm. Sometimes it takes a few tries, but I think the modern thing is that no matter how many tries it takes, like if we are focused on the mission, we will get there. That's usually the process, and different people, different experiences, and kind of try to get everyone's opinion and align them into something. And very often people are stuck with like, trying to address the problem with what they have today, for today. Right. But the best thing comes from say, hey, let's just think about like how it should be really addressed. So it may be a solution which is like 10 steps away or like 20 months away. But let's think about the end state and then walk our way back to where we are today. Because maybe some things we don't have yet, like maybe we don't have hardware to train AI. Maybe we have not yet invented this part of technology, but maybe we just don't have enough people to do it fast enough. But these are not, this should not prevent the thinking process. It should not prevent the creativity. Like if it's a crazy idea, put it on the table. Doesn't mean we're going to do it right now, but like, you know, let us know, right? That's what makes me happy. Is that what actually like drives me as a visionary behind our products. But again, I'm just so happy that it's probably at least 20 more people in the company who can bring ideas in technology, which, you know, I cannot think of and, or would like take like forever to come up with. So that would make subprime great that, I think everybody who is touching our technology is bringing ideas to it. And quite often we also hear ideas not from engineers, right? So it's, of course, if it's something like super specific, then yes, but we're saying how this product should solve the problem, right? I think everybody can contribute and there are no bad questions, as I like to say. I just wish kind of it would be, is it, we were living in a more calm time, it would be much even easier because we wouldn't be have pressure all of the time, right, to execute what we need. But because of that, we sometimes have to like almost act like superheroes and kind of rush into it and say, hey, we have to have this like within 24 hours. That's tough, right? So everybody who's going with me to that process, you know, it's really like a Marvel superhero. It's like you can't, like getting the creativity out within limited time frame is hard, right?
Yeah.
And
it's like forcing a flower to bloom with after just putting the seed in the ground, right? Like bloom.
Yeah.
I love everything that we talked about today. I I'm excited about your future. And I really like this idea of, you know, balancing like what you have to do today with imagining what's possible, because, you know, back to my dad worked at IBM for 40 years. So when he started, he was actually surveilling Russians, right? In the 1950s, that's what his first job was. And IBM was making adding machines. And then he worked on the Apollo program that was just an idea to go to the moon. They didn't know how to go to the moon, but they had the idea of going to the moon. And he actually worked on the computers in the Apollo program. And then when he left IBM 40 years after starting, they were making PCs. And so what SOC Prime can create over the next 20 or 30 years, a lot of it hasn't been invented yet. So imagination is so important while you're getting your work done. And I'm excited for you. I'm excited about your future. Marina, what are you excited about when you think about the company in the next couple of years? What's your vision for people and culture?
I hope we can keep our values, because this values move forward company during these 8 to 9 years. And we believe in these values. Yeah, we have really great trust relationship inside the team. And, you know, I think what my imaginary future, of course, it's a freedom to move between our hubs, between our locations, our workshops, our collaboration in different locations, in different conferences, our freedom to put teams together for great kickoff, annual kickoff, when we can see each other offline, because of course remote work, it's a great decision, but we want to see each other, you know, have coffee break, share our ideas, brainstorms. Of course we do it during our work remotely, but it's always, you know, great to have these people offline. So of course more educational program, not only for core skill set, for our leaders, for our internal talent pool, and of course our corporate culture activities. I want to move forward with our leadership team and create, you know, some work groups regarding what we need on the next level. Of course, I understand that a lot of locations, what we will add in the future, a lot of new people, we should do the best operations like onboarding, yeah, remote and offline, and our mentorship program, our internal talent pool program. So individual development plan, performance evaluation, it must be in the future, of course. We have a part of this right now, but of course, a lot of thoughts in my head for 2024, 2025, 2026.
Andre, you're very lucky to have such an enthusiastic person. Often people, executives that list all the things they have to do, don't do it with the big smile. So you're lucky to have Marina with you.
I absolutely am.
And Andre, what are you looking forward to as the company grows? Like, what are you looking forward to in the next couple of years?
Quite a lot. Now we'll start listening soon. So yeah, I think we've been successful in kind of expanding our technical line, right? We were not super big with commercial side. I mean, we're growing, our ARR is growing, we're getting more customers, we're getting more happy users. We want to do more with sales, we want to grow our sales team because sales drives technology adoption, right? So next year's milestone will be to get next round of funding right? We are already speaking with some prominent investors who are interested in what we do, even though our pitch is kind of not like a pitch you'd expect from a technology startup, because it has to do a lot with actual mission and a lot of Ukrainian angle, and also like somewhat even like defense angle, which is based on like kind of US military standards. So it's almost like a mix between like collaboration, technology, and defense. So that would be like the next big mission, because it will allow us to grow faster. Yes, I want to have more people in the company, right? Like every CEO does, because if you have more people, you have bigger team, you can achieve more. So we have less constraint. And so removing those constraints are definitely important. Also, like, we want to build the next layer of collaboration. This is like partnership program, because right now we have like a detection response providers who act as our partners. We want to work more with system integrators, with distributors, and with the big guys. So actually, you mentioned IBM. IBM is one of our top six strategic partners. So you know, these days we get to do that. Yes, I mean,
they're still paying a beautiful pension to my dad, who's very healthy at 96. So I'm very grateful for IBM. I'm excited about your future. It sounds like you need the right investors and the right people that are mission driven. So tell us how people can find out about opportunities as clients or as for careers. Tell us your website.
So website is socprime.com, or like socprime.com, right? It was American pronunciation. If you go to the website, you actually don't need to give us your data. Like the moment you go there, it's actually like a search engine where you can start looking for threats and way to tackle them, like free, right? If you want to explore more, there's also ruta.io, which is kind of the language website, which explains more about the open source mission. So regardless, like if you are into like developing algorithms, I recommend to go to Ruta. If you are more like into learning about SocPrime, I recommend SocPrime.com. And from there, the next step is to get to community. So we have a Discord channel where everybody is invited. So we have there like thousands of people from different countries, usually in interest groups, but just chatting about anything from technology to like life at security work, daily life of security worker. So by all means, join Discord channels, as I would say. The rest is kind of non-linear. I mean, somebody would want to test the product, somebody would like to use a freemium version, somebody would talk with our sales, somebody would maybe just kind of read it all and move on. But it all starts with the website, and we try to make it like non-intrusive. And a lot of our website doesn't even know who is visiting it. So as opposed to many like modern marketing practices, sections of our website don't even have cookies, right? So literally like, we don't know if people come to our website, just browsing, they can do it and visit it, and we will not know who they are, right?
We could do a whole podcast just on that. That's pretty remarkable that you care about our security. And it sounds like no matter if you're an individual interested in cybersecurity or a small company or a large company, there's something for us with you, and we appreciate you. And I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for you, and I hope you have beautiful holidays.
Thank you, Laurel. We pray for peace as well. And yes, I wish you a merry and safe Christmas. And for everyone, you know, listen to the podcast, of course, be safe. And enjoy the holiday season. Everybody's, at least I know at SocPrime, everybody's looking forward to the holiday season.
And that's a heart-wrapped episode of the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. May your compass always point to kindness.
As you navigate the world, let compassion be your North Star. Join us next time as we continue to redefine success one heart-led decision at a time.
Lead wisely, lead with heart. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com.